Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks, Clipper fans, Clipper winners?
It was a good game one.
Heck of a game one.
Yeah.
Anyways, hopping on the mic to talk about it. It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am trying to be not too positive, Chuck Muckler.
It's a good place to be.
It's a good place to be.
That's a good place to be. Yeah. And you know what? We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We stay bringing in that Clippers news 5 days a week.
Yeah, we'll be back on Monday for you guys.
And you know what? We have some ecstatic news for you today.
Yeah, Clippers got it done.
So we're kind of going to be doing a hybrid of our regular kind of game recaps as well as a sort of a game two and series preview kind of moving forward. We're going to open things up with, you know, what we did so well in that game.
Which was a lot.
Exactly. And you know, like sort of how that can translate to further success. And then in the second segment, we're going to be talking about, you know, there were some things that we still do think could be tightened up.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there's some things. We didn't drop a 30-burger on them.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't win by 30. This was something Will was talking about during the game. He's like, if we don't win by 30. I was like, come on, man.
I was saying it was a loss.
We didn't win by
30. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about some of that as well as, you know, what we can do to win in game two. God, no rhyme intended. Sorry about that, folks. And then in segment three, we have a classic Friday Love, Mary, quarantine for you. So please stick around for all of that and possibly more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so the Clippers did get the very fat dub of 120-97 win over the Nuggets in game one. Patrick Beverley played, which was great. We're going to close out this segment kind of with just a kind of total look at Patrick Beverley.
How Pat look?
But, I mean, Kawhi Leonard continues to be the best player on the court in any game of basketball being played. 29 points on 75% shooting.
Absurd.
Every single spot he wanted to go to, he got to.
Well, and like, I mean, we've seen this before, right? Like, we've seen this, I feel like, elevating, you know, throughout the regular season, throughout the playoffs. But there's a certain, I mean, what would you even call it? Like, an inevitability? There's something, like, I don't even know how to describe it.
He was like, I was laughing when Kawhi was just went out going on those runs. And it's like, I mean, he had the quiet, I tweeted it, he had the quietest 19-point first half in the history of basketball.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
It made no sense.
He has one of those games where, like, it's not smooth in the way that Paul George is, but it's like a different kind of low-key scoring.
It's just efficient.
Yeah, it's so efficient. That's the exact word I was looking for. It's just so efficient.
Yeah, and he went 12 of 16. This is as good as it's going to get, but he continues to be elite. I don't know. It was just so fun. It was one of those games where you just love to watch Kawhi. What else did we like in this game?
I mean, like, overall the team was great. I like to see the bench so efficient in its limited minutes. So here's the thing, call. Right? Like, obviously rotations are going to shrink in the playoffs.
Reggie Jackson did not get very much playing time, which we're going to talk about.
Like, I'm not saying anything new there, but what I did like was seeing these guys be efficient in those short minutes. Lou Will was 5 of 9 from the floor. He finished with 10, 4, and 4. Yeah. Did have a couple of turnovers, which, you know, is a bugaboo of mine. But, you know, nobody's perfect.
Okay.
And Trez also, I mean, this was his best game offensively. Well, and defensively,
he just
really
looked fresher. He had a great block on, I think it was Plumlee, right?
Yes.
Still getting there. Definitely.
It's still a little bit of a work in progress, but he was 5 of 11 from the floor. He also nailed his free throw attempts.
That was so huge to see.
He was 5 of 6. He finished 15, 3, and 2.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, so here's the thing, right? Obviously, Lou and Trez, potent offensively.
Yeah.
You got to take the defensive bad with the good. And I think some of the defensive bad with the good of the offense, you don't get as much of good of the offense if they're in there for limited minutes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. They need some time to get settled in the game. That's kind of Lou's thing.
They need some time to really sort of like exploit those margins
and figure out how the other team moves on the pick and roll defense.
100%, 100%. So, it's going to be difficult for them to be efficient in a smaller role. Like, I just think that that's going to be a truth moving forward in the playoffs. Yeah. But I love to see it in this game.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The whole team just vibe wise was locked in.
100%.
There was only one period where it was a little kind of like easy going, and that was the end of the third. But I mean, Trez was jacked up. We held the Nuggets to 42% shooting, which, so just to be fair, the Nuggets look tired.
And
you just are like a lot of the commentators were like, yeah, you go from like Shaq said on Inside the NBA, he was like, yeah, you go from game seven, but you're in the bubble. You walk across the grassy knoll to get your meal, and then you just keep playing basketball. But it's like, no, man. Like, I'm really happy the Clippers look locked in after such a long time off.
That's a good call.
Which is what I think a lot of fans were kind of worried about. But
I think that can be a difficult thing to deal with in its own right.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I mean, Jokic was... So, like, when Zoo was on the floor, Jokic was 4 of 12 and minus 18. Jamal Murray went 5 of 15. The team defense was great in this one.
100%. And just like going into that vibe wise thing, I mean, you know, we broke dead even through that first quarter.
Yeah, it was 30. It was tied up at 31.
Right. And I think sometimes we've seen the Clippers kind of fall into this trap where if things aren't going really well early, we sort of hang around and wait till the end.
Yeah, for sure.
To really establish the win.
Yeah.
And it was really good to see in this one, them just. Stepping on the neck.
Oh, wait. And then before we get into how Pat Bev looked, Marcus Morris, still great.
Yes, 100%.
18-5 on 70% shooting from the field and 80% from three. The defense was great.
The defense was incredible.
It was just a good showing all around. He hugged his son on the sidelines. Also, TNT, it was a little... There was a lot of good Marcus Morris press from the TNT broadcast.
What's the problem?
It just felt a little
weird.
What's
the problem?
I'm just saying. It was a little odd. He was kissing babies, which was great. Still,
guy gets a bad rap. He's trying to change the rap. You're mad.
Still unclear on his timeline for when he's leaving, but we'll take as much of this Marcus Morris as we can get.
Yes. I believe his partner is in the bubble.
She was there.
So... It's unclear how that's going to go, but...
I don't want to talk about when she might have the baby.
I'm not talking about that, but, I mean, it clearly will be a very huge loss to the Clippers for any loss of Marcus Morris.
And then, real quick, Pat Bev played, which was fantastic. Only played 12 minutes, but, my God, were those 12 minutes effective.
100%. he looked so great. I guess the thing that... obviously he shot well, but the thing that stuck out the most to me was just the rebounding that we missed.
It was crazy. He just pops up in the right spots.
That's the thing. Like, the positioning is so good. He's great on any sort of long attempt. Like, he's going to grab that board.
Yeah.
He had 6 rebounds in 12 minutes. He only had, like, one less rebound than Zoo, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Zoo had one of those games where it was like he's playing the game of basketball well, but it wasn't exactly showing up in the stat sheet, which was fine. Mm-hmm. But Bev showed up in the stat sheet, 3 of 5 shooting, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. The energy was there. Like, he complimented the training staff in his post-game interview, which is great. You'd love to see that.
He said that his biggest credit is that Doc just lets him do him.
Yes, exactly. And so you kind of take the good with the bad with that, right? Because he had 2 fouls, and both the fouls were kind of like, you're still just getting back fouls. Like, one of them was kind of a bad reach.
That's a good call.
All right, you're going to live with that. But he only had 2. Call.
And, how relieved are you that, 12 minutes was the number that we were looking at? Because I think both you and I coming into this game thought it might be something 20. Over 15.
The way Jamal Murray's playing, it's like part of you doesn't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Because, there was, Jokic was, he had his moments for sure.
Especially early against Zoo.
Exactly. So there was kind of some worry there, but Murray never really got it going. And part of that was because of the time that Pat played. Also, hat tip to Doc, Shamit is just seemingly Bev's backup.
So
he was subbed in for when Bev, like when Bev was subbed off the first time, he was the first sub off. It was Shamit who was back in.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. He was the first
sub in, which is great to see. Do you got anything else on how Pat looked?
I don't. We're going to get into kind of what we didn't like and some trends to look at. But first, hey, y'all. Some people listening or might know somebody because you have a very open relationship with the person you talk to might suffer from ED in the bedroom. And our advice is talk to somebody. Don't let it be a bee in your bonnet with Roman. It is easy to talk about ED with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. Hang loose. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. That's prime numbers right there. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to roman.com/lockedonNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now you can tackle that erectile dysfunction with Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lockedonNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNBA. Getroman.com/lockedonNBA.
Okay, now that we're locked in, for a recap of a further recap.
Yeah,
of
continuing recap. The Nuggets. Yeah, so what
yes.
Kawhi wasn't getting any calls early. That was some bullshit. The reffing in this game was very wonky in the beginning. He only had 4 free throw attempts. And I think anyone listening to this game who watched the game, it's easily argued he should have had double this.
Definitely. I mean, so like this was an overarching thing to me for this game. I mean, we need to be getting into the line more. Just period. And... You know, maybe part of it is definitely going to be a reffing thing. Part of it, you know, calls aren't always going to go your way, so you can't rely on that.
For sure.
But as a team, I mean, we're much better at getting in positions to get to the line.
Yeah.
And in this game, we only had 17 free throw attempts.
It flipped. Literally flipped. The averages in the bubble flipped in this game.
Yes. We only had 17 free throw attempts in this game. The Nuggets had 27.
Yeah.
We're
supposed to have 27.
Yes. So, I mean, like, you know, some of that is a little bit out of our control, for sure.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, you just got to continue to put yourself in positions.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too, right? Like, you just can't get frustrated after game one. You got to continue to put yourself in positions going downhill, going at the defender, and hopefully, I mean, hopefully you're going to get the call at some point. Like, you know, truly, you just got to put yourself in the position.
Just got to establish it. We got to keep Jeremy Grant in check. They only hit 9 threes, which is a testament to our defense. He hit 3 of them, which is pretty funny. So if not everyone else, you know, like everyone else is going to kind of step up their averages from complete garbage, which what it was from this 3 in this game, right?
Yes.
Like this was a poor shooting night from them. That could become an issue because he theoretically has a better chance at guarding Kawhi than anyone else on the Nuggets and stuff like that effectively. So if he's also hitting shots, it becomes kind of a problem. But, you know.
I mean, I totally agree. And, like, what I don't want to see going forward is if Jeremy Grant is able to be efficient on the offensive end while still...
That's an issue.
While still defensively clamping down one of Paul George or Kawhi. And, like, tonight... We didn't see the full clamps.
No, we didn't.
We did not see the full clamps, but like that does not mean that that's going to happen every night for the rest of the series. Like,
for sure.
Jeremy Grant is too good of a defender. He's proved himself in his time in the league to be too good of a defender.
Yeah.
So, we can't allow him to also be making a difference on the offensive end.
That's a good call.
And not to harp too much on the free throw thing again, to go back to it, but like, we gotta watch the damn shooting fouls.
Yeah, Jermichael Green fouled. It was Millsap from behind the line, right?
Yes, my it wasn't just Jermichael Green.
But it was a pretty egregious one from Jermichael.
My thing is, Millsap right now is struggling so much offensively.
Yeah.
Great defensive player, don't get me wrong. But he had 8 attempts at the line tonight.
Yeah,
we gave him half of his points at the line. He went... Like, he had 13 points overall. 6 of those were from the free throw line.
That's fair.
as a guy who's
struggling, a fair bugaboo.
As a guy who's struggling offensively, you can't be giving him trips to the line.
Yeah, don't let him see the ball go like, in the bucket. Yeah,
I mean, you'd have to be you'd have to be a better than 67% shooter to make it worth fouling someone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure. So, and it's kind of nice because this game, there wasn't any truly glaring issues, right? Like in this game one. Like no. Even like so like one of the glaring issues from the first round was the Reggie minutes. Reggie Jackson only played 12 minutes in this game. It is a game where Pat Bev also only played 12 minutes, which leads me to kind of believe that Reggie Jackson is out of the rotation once Pat Bev gets to 25 minutes. Those minutes are gone, right? Like,
I mean, once again, I do think
Shamit looks great in that role.
I do think that it's matchup dependent, right? And I think
maybe
that's fair. I mean, that's fair. But a thing that we have been seeing consistently is Paul George staggered with that bench unit, which I do think is very effective.
Doc staggering. So we haven't talked about Doc yet.
Yes.
But that's a kind of a, we'll talk about it in a sec, but like Doc staggering was phenomenal in this game. It was
definitely. Keeping the best players on the floor for sure. Now, do I think Reggie still has a spot in this lineup? I just think it depends. Like, Shamit has been, to me, really good on both ends of the floor.
Second in the bubble darling rankings, I would say.
Oh, I mean, behind who? But
of course,
he's that's very hard to surpass. So it makes sense to me that, you know, Landry would be the first sub in if you're subbing in a guard. I mean, to me, where we're at right now, it for makes sure. sense. So I don't know that he's completely out of the lineup, but I do think with Shamit playing the way that he's playing, it warrants some more time over Reggie for me.
It looks better. And Shamit also, he's looking more confident. He hit a reverse layup that, like, I think it was Clipperholics tweeted about it, how they were surprised by his athleticism.
Beautiful.
It was great.
Would you say sneaky athleticism?
I would not say sneaky athleticism. I would say, athleticism. And also,
you say raw power.
Yeah, exactly. And also, this is a hard sidebar. Trez hit a ball fake to Lou Williams and then hit Jamichael Green in the corner for a three.
Yes.
And Trez actually has one of the better kind of like ball fake success rates, it seems like, in the league. He's hit them before and they've usually worked. I think that's a sign of comfortability. I think we're going to see Trez have a better game in game two.
So I love this call. And he was definitely more efficient in this game. This was the best Trez game that we've seen post his return to the bubble.
For sure.
And I, once again, it's going to be really hard for him and Lou to hit a stride in more limited minutes.
Yeah.
Like it just is.
Yeah. But any stride they hit will be good. And hopefully Doc's rotations, we can stop it when it needs to be stopped.
Yes.
Right.
And it can only continue to be great. But
for sure,
if Trez is continuing to like be a force driving into the lane, but still able to kick out to an open shooter, which is what we've been kind of begging for all
season.
And
Zoo did that a couple times too this game. Some of them were a little wild to the corner.
Yes. But if Trez is opening up that passing game to passing outside to guys on the perimeter, I mean, to me, that's just the next level of Trez's game.
Agreed. So we're going to get into a how we feeling. Twitter user Dominic C has a very hyped up message. We're going to go ahead and play that right about now.
Yo, this is Dominic. Just wanted to say that this is the game I wanted to see. Not because of the, you know, if it was going to be competitive or not. And no, that's no disrespect to Denver, but, you know, I want to see the Clippers step on people's throats, especially when they're down. I think that we've been all year just kind of playing down to our competition. And my God, Pat Bev, I go to war with that guy any day of the week. Love that dude. That's like I said, I just want to see him on the court for a few minutes. It just for some reason, it gives like a whole different energy, you know, like a double shot of espresso. But, you know, just appreciate what they do. You know, hopefully that we just keep this rolling, keep the streak going. And Doc, don't fuck this up. Sorry for my language. Anyway, y'all, be safe. You know, hug your loved ones. Man, this world is crazy right now. All right, peace.
So the keep this going thing, I think, is totally fair. Game two, we literally need to play game two with the exact same intensity. We're not going to shoot the same percentage because we shot an absurd percentage in game one.
Yeah.
but the intensity has to be the same, and I have confidence it will take the second game if we play it with the same mentality.
I mean, hey, like, oh, obviously our shooting numbers might not be the same, but if we're still limiting every Denver starter to under 20 points, I don't see a way in which we don't win the game.
And even so, if we only hold one of Jokic and Murray to under 30? 25, I'd say, we have a pretty good shot.
Definitely.
Because PG, you know, he's still got some ways to go, it seems like, in terms of getting all the confidence and everything back. So when that happens, it's really going to be bad. And then Josh from the San Fernando Valley, hope you're doing good up in the SFC, or SFV, Josh. He's feeling good with an interesting Paul George take.
What it do, baby? This is Josh from the San Fernando Valley. Obviously ecstatic about the win tonight. Kawhi Leonard, I don't necessarily believe in God, but if there is one, I thank him every day that he is on our team. Obviously, you know, the support of Beverly being back, huge, Trez doing his thing. But, I mean, here's my hot take, I guess. I would say that, yeah, Paul George is a legend. He's a beast. He can do his thing 1v1, and he can be a 30, 40-point night guy if we need him to. My opinion is we're better off with him not playing that role. I feel like there are playmaker guys, and there are just kind of role-playing, take-what-you-can-get position guys. While I don't think Paul George necessarily fits into that second category, I feel like for the nature, for the better of the team, he's actually better off being that guy. If he catches the ball and gets a good spot, gets some space, gets a good shot, or can drive and get that contested layup or dunk, we're absolutely better off with him doing that. If not, I think he's better off kicking it, finding an open guy, because honestly, when guys like Beverly, Lou Green, Lou Williams, Trez, all of our big guys are doing their things, I really just think that we're better off as a team when he's kind of just playing that playmaker role. Anyway, love the podcast. Keep doing your thing, guys. Let's go, Clips.
Okay. Okay. I like it. So
I think this is because of his playing style. I think because he looks so smooth and because he looks like he's not, you know, Kawhi, who has the quote unquote robotic type vibe, or guys who have more of like a I'm playing very intense vibe, that it looks like they're maybe trying harder. Paul George is trying just as hard as those guys. And so I think you sometimes think he's maybe not as much of an alpha player.
So my thing is...
But he's good in this role, too, that Josh is proposing. Like, yeah, that's the other thing.
I don't think it has anything to do with Paul George not being an alpha. I think if this was a team without Kawhi Leonard and we needed Paul George to, like... If his sole role was to get buckets...
Yeah.
I don't think that he would have any problem doing that.
Yeah.
I think what's great about both Kawhi and Paul George is they're great at feeding the other one when the other one is hot.
Yeah, and right? Kawhi was that tonight.
And that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, he was on fire. He was unstoppable. So why would you try to...
He was on fire.
I mean, why would you try to take the ball out of his hands?
For sure.
I almost think that deferring has like a negative connotation to it.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Whereas I do think that it's a solid read. Whereas, you know, in the first round, games 2 through 4, he definitely, like, that was Paul George struggling.
It was bad.
That was Paul George struggling. This game to me with Paul George, you know, still scoring under 20 points, that to me is Paul George reading the room.
Deferring in a positive way.
Not deferring. I'm saying reading the room.
All right. That's a good call. I like that. That's fair. What's your prediction for game 2, which will happen on Sunday? We'll have a recap for everybody on Monday.
I don't think it's as sound of a victory.
Agreed.
But I'm expecting another, I'm going to say, 8-point spread Clips win.
Part of me, so I'm having a battle between two parts of my brain. One part of my brain says that Denver is absolutely gassed.
Okay.
Just physically. Like, I mean, the schedule's crazy in the bubble.
It's absurd.
And there was a worry among the fan base. I was worried about this a little bit too, that like the time off for the Clippers, like what's it going to look like? Pat Beverly hit his threes early, which I think really helped the momentum of the team.
That's true. Yeah.
But I still think it's Clips by 10.
Okay. I still
think it's Clips by 10.
I like it. My reasoning is I just think that Denver at least tries to come out with a vengeance.
But I mean, PG didn't even score 20 tonight.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Terrence Mann, Magruder, Patterson all got 4 minutes tonight.
I know, but they emptied their bench too.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that was with PG not even scoring 20. Coming up, we're really just going to be talking Ty Lue. But first, Will, auto parts. Where could I get them? I need... Don't ask me about it. I'm in a real jam. I need a bunch of auto parts right now.
Where do they come from? Where do you get them? You got to go to rockauto.com.
Rock Auto.
They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years.
Hell yeah, can
you believe
dude.
It?
No way.
And if you go to rockauto.com, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything that you could possibly need. And the best thing about the rockauto.com catalog is that it's unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers.
DIYers? Like yourself. That's me.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts?
No idea.
Makes no sense. You should go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
All right, welcome to Shavings.
Hey.
Really, the kind of some big news in the Clippers sphere was Ty Lue, next coach of the 76ers. I hope it goes good.
Congrats.
I love Ty Lue. He's a fantastic coach. This isn't a knock on him. I think he is an elite coach, but like, he's going into a situation that is
broken.
Weird.
Broken.
Wonky.
I
wish he was I just wish he was coaching a better team.
I would have liked so much for him to get that Nets job.
That would have been a good time, but instead Steve Nash got it. So I hope it goes okay.
My thing is I just hope he's not being set up in a situation where he's gonna be another scapegoat, because that team has...
There's
just,
issues.
There's issues in the way that the team is built.
Yeah.
That I don't...
Yeah, because they traded away, like, all their shooters. Like, at one point they had, like... That
they
team,
traded away all their great role players. And I just don't think...
That team needs exactly a J.J. Redick or a Landry Shamet.
Or maybe Jimmy Butler, who they gave up a lot of players for half a season in the playoffs.
So I hope Ty Lue succeeds. I think he can succeed kind of in spite of these deficiencies.
Yes, but I do hope.
But if it's a little shitty.
They got to figure something out roster-wise.
Oh,
because I don't want to see him in a situation where he's set up to fail.
I don't want to see him getting bad press. It's not fair at all.
I don't need to see him coughing up any more rings.
No. Man, that's a weird thing that no one ever talks about anymore.
I love that.
Do we think there's been the rumor that maybe the Clips get Gentry back over to on the bench? I think with Ty Lue departing, that maybe those rumors... Not, and I mean rumors, like people just talk about it on Twitter. Do we think that maybe is a real... I would love it.
Yeah.
It'd help the offense.
I got to be honest. I think that... I mean, obviously, Rex claiming is great for the defense.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Rex K?
I think that it behooves Doc to have an extra person on the bench who he can kind of trust and,
for sure,
and defer to.
That's a good call. So since we're kind of down on Ty Lue being hired by the 76ers, because of the 76ers, not because of Ty Lue, what the Love Mary quarantine this week is, what is a better use of Ty Lue's time than coaching the possibly, probably doomed 76ers?
Yes.
We have learning to make wine. Kind of a Doc style thing.
Yes. He also does love wine.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Investing in a new social media platform. This one's a big waste.
Wow.
It's like him and like Redman and...
Lue Talk.
Yes, exactly.
Ty Talk.
Try and come back to the league.
Ooh, as a player?
As a player.
Love it.
Yeah. Get some reps in with Lethal Shooter. Get some drills in with someone, someone holding a broom while you're hitting free throws. And I believe these are from you. Work on the golf game.
He should.
Which, I mean, I'm not going to argue against that. hit a new dance move dubbed the Ty Lue. So this also, I feel like maybe he's kind of a YouTube influencer on this one.
But this is different than establishing his own social media platform. This seems more attainable to me.
Interesting.
New dance move versus launching a new social media platform?
I'm just saying they both seem pretty crazy. And then the last one, if you haven't seen Adele's situation, braid Adele's hair. I'm throwing this one out immediately. I just got to throw this one out immediately. I'm sorry. We've never thrown one out, but I got to throw this one out immediately. I'm going to love working on the golf game. Because he should. He deserves to just relax.
Yeah.
Have a good time. Enjoy the time off.
Yes.
I'm going...
Doc has also had more links, time on the links than him, so I bet...
Yeah.
You know, I bet those games could be a little bit more heated if Ty Lue could work on the game a little
That's a good call. I'm going to marry learning to make wine. Ty Lue stomping on some grapes. Seems like he'd be in a good place.
Gotcha.
And then I think I have to quarantine trying to come back to the league. I think he'd get hurt. And I don't want that to happen.
No, that's fair. You might be a little too far removed. Yeah. What if he was just like a wild shooter?
Just a
what
just
if he was Kyle Korver?
Okay, then nope, still getting hurt, I think. What are you LMQing?
All right. I'm loving hitting a new dance move. Just calling the Ty Lue.
Okay.
I love it. I love it.
Is it a song called Hit the Ty Lue?
Or no, it's just a great dance move.
It's just a TikTok he makes.
And then people are like, hit the Ty Lue. I love it.
Oof.
Okay. I love it.
No, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with it?
Nothing. Which one are you marrying?
I'm going to marry... work on the golf game.
I mean, yeah, I can't argue with that.
He's got to work on that.
As a golfer myself, everyone has to work on their golf game.
I'm going to quarantine learning to make wine.
That's a good time.
It's just very difficult. I don't think he has enough time.
I mean, he's not, you know, growing it himself. You know, he's not planting the seeds in the vineyard. He's doing like the rich guy version of of making your own wine. He's not wearing a smock.
For all the listeners, and I mean, you obviously know this, but I love wine. I have always loved wine.
Everybody does.
I had family members, like, before the home brewing scene really took off.
Yeah.
That they, like, brewed their own beer or whatever. Oh, and I was like, oh, making wine would be cool. And they're like, making wine is very hard. You could actually kill yourself.
Wow, I bet you never thought about making wine again, you freak.
It always makes me think that making... wine he could secretly die? Be deadly. Like, you're stopping on the grapes and you're like, oh god, oh no.
I mean, that one newscaster,
it's so juicy.
That one newscaster lady fell pretty hard. She almost died. All right, we gotta get out of here. Hope everyone has a good weekend.
Yes,
we hope it's a good time. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, what else, Deezer.
Yes, we're on Deezer. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher.
Yeah. Leave a review.
Yes, you can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Please leave a rating or review if you haven't already. We'd love to know what we can improve on.
Yeah, we'd love it.
What you're liking. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Even if they don't like the pod, just subscribe.
Yeah, you know, take their phone, use their password, subscribe to the podcast.
Who cares? You can delete the downloaded ones in iOS. Who cares?
Doesn't even matter. Monday's episode... we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory in game 2 of the Nuggets. Ooh, I hope we get that victory. Some presser vibes. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. We hope everyone has a safe weekend.
Yes.
As we said
in
the earlier podcast, wear a mask. Don't be racist. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.